Yeah, thank you so much, Alex. And thank you so much for coming this unusual time and space. This talk is mainly based on the paper written with my supervisor, Benny. And please feel free to interrupt anytime if you have any questions or something is not clear. So I'd like to start the talk by thinking of how our understandings of quantum measurements have been evolved for the last 10 years. So conventionally, quantum measurements has been thought of as some kind of tools to extract classical information from the quantum systems. And one popular example of this is Schrödinger's cat. So initially, cat is in some superposed state of the alive or dead state. But if you measure the state of the cat, then you can extract the classical information of the cat. But at the same time, the state of the cat collapses into classical state, so we lose the quantum information. However, the past like 10 years of fascinating research has actually dramatically changed this viewpoint. So now we know that quantum measurements can be used to store some quantum information in a robust way. And also, we know it can induce some novel phase transitions, and we know it can use to like prepare some very complex quantum states in a very efficient way. So here, we might want to know where these two different viewpoints crashes. And in other words, you want to know actually how robust is the quantum information under the random measurements. And the goal of this talk is to answer this question using the tools of quantum error correction. So to make this question a little bit more clear, I want to solve some simple examples that shows the relation between quantum codes and the measurements. So the first example is, suppose we have some NKD code. Here, the N is number of physical qubits, and K is number of logical qubits encoded in the system, and D is the code distance. Then the question is, how many physical qubits should we at least measure to destroy the information? And the answer is in the question, it is D, because to destroy the information, we have to read out the logical information, which means we have to measure the logical operator. And the code distance quantifies the smallest logical operator that we can measure. So we have to measure at least D number of physical qubits, which means if we measure less than D, then there is no way to read out the information. So information should be somehow preserved in the unmeasured part of the system. And we will see this trade-off relation between reading out and information preservation more clearly in the later part of the talk. So in case of toric code, for example, we want to measure the string operators. So in this case, for the L by L toric code, we have to measure at least L number of the physical qubits. And now the setup is a little bit slightly more complicated. So now we lose the ability to choose what kind of physical qubits we are going to measure, which means we randomly select the physical qubits. But still, we have some ability to choose what kind of measurement basis we're going to use. And in this case, how many physical qubits should we measure to destroy the information? And the answer is given by the erasure threshold of the code. Because to measure some logical operators, first, some kind of logical operator should be supported on the randomly chosen physical basis. And erasure threshold quantifies actually how many physical qubits should we randomly choose to make at least one logical operator is supported on the chosen physical qubits. And since we can choose what kind of measurement basis we're going to use, so if we measure erasure threshold times number of physical qubits, then we can actually read out the logical information, which means now the information will be gone after the measurement. So for the toric code, it is well known that erasure threshold is 1 over 2, which means we have to measure at least half of the physical qubits randomly to destroy the information. Yes.
In this case, are you considering a
second
measurement, or
you allow a all the measurements we are considering here is local projective measurements. Yes. So each z is just a computational basis measurement for each single qubit.
Does it matter if we record the measurement outcome or not?
Yeah, actually, that's a really good point. We record the measurement outcome, so it's slightly different from decoherence induced by environment. Yeah. In this case, it's a bit tricky because we'll see that how we define the how the information is preserved in the in setup slide, and I think based on that definition, it should be less than 1/2 for the toy code if we do not record the information of the measurement outcomes. Yeah. So yeah, in this case, we record the measurement outcomes, yeah, and also every measurement is a local. And more interesting questions is now we also lose the ability to choose what kind of measurement basis we're going to use. So now we randomly select the physical qubits, but also we don't know what kind of measurement basis we're going to choose. We can choose either X or Y or Z measurement basis. Then the answer is not clear, because now if we measure more than half of the physical qubits, that at least one logical operator should be supported on the chosen physical qubits, but it is not guaranteed that the measurement basis we've chosen is enough to read that logical operators. So the goal of this talk is to answer this question for very interesting families of quantum codes. So to answer this question, I will introduce the notion of measurement threshold, which quantifies how many physical qubits should be measured to destroy the encoded information. And I will show that for large class of quantum codes, actually, surprisingly, measurement threshold is given by one, meaning that if we do not measure like 0.001% of the physical qubits, then still after measuring 99.999% of physical qubits, still we can decode information from a measured small part of the physical qubits. So this is the outline of today's talk. So I will clarify our setup in a more rigorous way. And then also we will fix some terminologies there. And then we will study three different families of quantum codes that naturally allows to take a thermodynamic limit, which we can well define the measurement threshold. And then I will summarize the result and suggest some open problems. Any questions at this point? Okay, great. So let's start from the setup. So the problem we are considering is follows. So first, we have some quantum information that we want to store. So we embed in, into the larger Hilbert space using isometry. And this isometry will be determined by what kind of codes we are going to use. And then we measure some part of the physical qubits with the bases. And we ask whether there exists some recovery operator that we can restore the quantum state even after the measurement. And if such recovery operator exists, then we say the information is still preserved after the measurement. And if such recovery does not exist, then we say the information is destroyed. And this problem can be, Right. We need measurement outcomes to construct the recoveries, yes. And this problem can be studied using the state channel duality. And in the state language, we introduce the reference, then maximally entangle it to the initial state. And then we also embed it to some larger Hilbert space using the code and measure some part and ask whether the unmeasured part of the physical qubits has a maximum mutual information with the reference. And it is guaranteed that if the mutual information is still preserved to the maximum, then we can construct such recovery operators. And if not, then we can claim that information is gone. And using this relation, we can actually find some constraint that such measurement operators should preserve the information. So let's say M is some group that is generated by the measurement operators that we've chosen. And for the stabilizer codes, we can show that if we do not measure any non-trivial logical operator of the code, the information should be always preserved. And this result can be generalized to subsystem codes. In that case, if you do not measure any dress logical operators, then information should be preserved after the measurements. And so, but in this talk, we are only considering about the stabilizer codes. So our criteria would be if we do not measure any logical information, logical operator, meaning that if we do not, without any logical information, then information should be somehow preserved in the measured part of the physical qubits. Yeah, but we are interested in the case that That's true. So probably the state that we are computing mutual information would be the post-selected state that we recorded the measurement outcomes. So here, the mutual information is defined for the post-selected state.
For the, yeah. But the measurement, they are random. So you require that all the trajectories have mutual information
to take, or average? Yeah, for the average, we.
Okay, good. Yeah, so my question is, since the measurement outcome are random, so do you require all the trajectory to have the maximal coherent information or just average you have?
Yeah, we will see the statistical limit of the mutual information. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but I think at the thermodynamic limit, actually it is safe to say that most of the trajectories gives the maximum mutual information. But yeah, it's a still average.
Oh, okay, I see, good.
I think there is a typo, it should be A and R, but yeah. But we are interested in the case that the measurement bases are selected in a random way. So to quantify this randomness, we have to introduce probability. So we quantify the randomness of the measurements by PX, PY, PZ, meaning that like we select the Pauli X basis, for example, with the probability PX, and we add all probability, it becomes a measurement probability, and we are interested in the case that PM is less than 1, meaning that we do not measure all physical qubits. But it is very useful to introduce the notion of relative measurement frequency, and in this case, we can actually renormalize the probability. So now the alpha x, alpha y, alpha z sums to be 1 for PM less than 1. And we are interested in the case that we fix the relative measurement frequency of the random measurements and increase the PM from 0 to 1. And we want to understand when the information starts to destroy. And the measurement probability that the information starts to destroy, the smallest measurement probability that start to information destroy is defined to be measurement threshold of the code. And one simple but fundamental result that we can observe in this case is that measurement threshold should be always larger than at least equal to erasure threshold because of the algebraic condition that we derived in the previous slide. We should be able to read out one logical information to destroy the information. But if there is no logical operators supported on the randomly chosen physical qubits, then there is no way to read out the information, so information should be always preserved. So because of that, to destroy the information, the measurement threshold should be at least larger than the erasure threshold. And actually in this talk, we will show that for many cases, measurement threshold is much larger than erasure threshold. So this is some examples that might be helpful to understand our notations. So in this case, for the first figure, the toric code is measured with probability 001 over 2, which means half of the physical qubits are measured with Pauli Z basis. And in this case, our relative frequency will be 001. And in this case, the incontractable Z operators are started to support it on the measured qubits, so logical informations are measured, so information starts to destroy, so measurement threshold becomes 1 over 2. But you're interested in the case we use more random bases, like X, Y, Z. In this case, half of the physical qubits are uniformly randomly measured with different Pauli bases, and we want to understand when the information starts to destroy. Yeah, so now we will see the result for the different families of the codes. So the first example is concatenated codes. And the reason why we start from the concatenated code is that it allows very natural way to take a thermodynamic limit of the code, which is essential to define the measurement threshold. And for this code, the stabilizers and logical operators are defined like this. And the important point is that logical X, Y, Z has the same weight, which means if we measure the code with a uniform probability, then they will be measured in a very symmetric way. And another important point of this code is that it can be used to construct some toy models for ADS-CFT, and we will show that those result in the later part of the talk. And we both analytically and numerically found that the measurement threshold is 1 for all relative measurement frequency in this case, meaning that to destroy the information of the for the 5 concatenated 5 qubit code, no matter what kind of measurement basis we choose, we have to measure all physical qubits. And if we do not measure like epsilon percent of the physical qubits, the information should be somehow stored in the unmeasured part of the physical qubits. And it is interesting because the erasure threshold of the concatenated 5 qubit code is given by 1 over 2. So we can see that measurement threshold is much higher than actually the erasure threshold. And one natural question that might be interested in this case is that what actually really happens if we measure all physical qubits? Then since we are measuring with local measurement bases, so all the entanglement will be broken down, so information should be somehow lost. And because of our criteria, that means we have to measure some kind of logical operator. Then the question is, what kind of logical operator will be measured if we measure all physical qubits? And that can be quantified by some entropy quantity. In this talk, we use relative Rennie 2 entropy to quantify the randomness. So if the logical operator is x bar, is measured with probability px bar, and y bar for py bar, and z bar for pz bar, then we can quantify the randomness using Rennie 2 entropy like this. And for concatenated 5 qubit codes, we found that for the probabilities that not at the boundary, we actually measure each logical operators in the very uniform way, meaning that as we concatenate the code, no matter what point we start from the probabilities of measurement, it actually flows to the center, and in the end, we will measure the logical operator in a very uniform way. And we conjecture that there is a relation between the uncertainty of measured logical operator and the measurement threshold, high measurement threshold that we saw before. So our conjecture is that if the given relative frequency gives a uncertainty of measured logical operator, then we believe that the measurement threshold of corresponding relative frequency should be 1. And we will check this conjecture for other families of the code, and we will see that the intuition behind this conjecture in the later part of the talk. And the next examples of the code we considered is 7-qubit code. And
so somewhat technical question, like so the way you got that figure is to do things numerically, right?
Right.
So you write down the logical logical x, y, z operator, mm-hmm. and you just sample some distribution over your errors and see if they match one of these operators.
Right, exactly. Okay. Yes. Yeah, and the next example we consider is 7-qubit code. And the one important property of this code is that the code has the symmetry under exchanging x, y, z. So we can easily deduce the phase diagram should also respect the symmetry. And if you are familiar with 2D color code, then we can actually think of this as 2D color code, the smallest 2D color code with triangular boundary. And the result is, the numerical result is given like this. So in this case, the measurement threshold is measured to be 1, if the relative frequency is less than 1 over 2 for all x, y, z. And otherwise, the information is destroyed if the even when the measurement is not equals to 1. Measurement probability is not equal to 1. And we also checked the uncertainty conjecture that we made for the 5 cubic codes. And for the 7 cubic code, the point at the center was unstable fixed point, meaning that if you measure the all code slightly perturbed from the center, then the measure logical operator will be fixed if you concatenate code. So in this case, if we measure this part equals to the logical X operator if we concatenate code, and if this part then equals to logical Y. But still, the conjecture holds because in this line, we cannot guarantee what kind of logical operator will be measured. And in this relative frequency, it has a measurement threshold 1. And our last example of I think that's a very good question. I think for the CSS code, also if we have some symmetry between X and Z stabilizers, then we can implement transversal Hadamard. So it should have some symmetry on the phase diagram. And we believe that there might be some relation between transversal, what kind of transversal logical gate and can be implemented by code and the measurement threshold. And yeah, I think that could be clear for the 15 qubit code if you see the example. So thank you for the very nice questions. So the last example that we considered is 15 qubit code. So in this code, the interesting point is that the size of the logical X, Y, and Z are very asymmetric. So the logical operator for the Z is 3, the distance is 3, but logical X and Y operator has distance 7. So it is very tempting to deduce that logical Z will be measured even if we make a measurement with uniform random probability. And another important point of this code is that it allows the non-Clifford transversal gate. And we will see what actually it affects to the measurement threshold in the end. So this is a numerical result. As we expected, even at the uniformly measured case, information is destroyed, probably because we measure logical Z operators. And this is actually seen here. So here, the entropy is 0, which means logical Z are measured. And here, logical X and logical Y are measured. And the information is preserved even, the measurement threshold is 1 when the PZ is very small in this region. And we can actually see that it matches with the region that uncertainty is not 0. So the diagram middle actually intuitively explains what's happening here. So if you start from PM equals to 0 and slightly up, but if the measurement probability is below the erasure threshold, then we do not measure any logical operator, so information must be preserved at this region. And then if you reach the erasure threshold, then some kind of logical operator will be measured, and in this case, it's a logical Z. But logical X and Y is not measured, so still there are some regions that information is still preserved. And if we keep increasing the PM, then now the logical X and Y are start to measure, but still there are some regions that information is preserved, which corresponds to the region when the measurement threshold is 1. And then if we reach the PM equals to 1, then in this region becomes the region that we are uncertain what kind of logical operator will be measured. So we believe that this is some intuitive picture that why there's a relation between uncertainty of measured logical operator and the measurement threshold.
Sorry, what was PN?
I'm sorry?
Sorry, what was PN?
PN.
I mean, I just want to check the definition of PM.
PM is sum of PX, PY, PZ.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's a like measurement problem. Okay. Any other questions for the concatenated codes? Yes.
I will.
So perhaps it's kind of similar to Tim's question. So basically, it seems like if you do some like Clifford deform of the code, it will give you a better diagram, like because it would be more robust to bias noise. And so, yeah, have you considered that? So for example, if you transform like a toric code to like XZZX code, like, it would be more robust to like bias noise. Like if you have like only Z noise, then it would be highly unlikely to.
I see. I think that's a good idea, but we didn't consider it the setup. But yeah, I think that might work based on the conjectures. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think in this case, since it's concatenated code,
right,
then it seems like to transform the whole thing, you need like a very non-local. To go from CSS to non-CSS, right? Because you're concatenating it, right?
Oh, I see.
So it seems like there could be a fundamental difference in like the phase diagram of logical information, right?
I see. Sorry, could you repeat the question
again? Well, maybe concretely, so the 5-qubit code, which is non-CSS,
right?
You said information is always preserved?
Right.
Right, so yeah. do you think this is true for any concatenated non-CSS code?
I think 5-qubit code is a bit special because it is known that it's a perfect tensor, and perfect tensor is effective description of hard random tensors. And if you consider the hard random encoding of the column information, then probably it would be the most robust way of the protect the information from the measurement. So yeah, I'm not sure that all non-CSS code would have, that might be the case, but also we thought 5-qubit code is a little bit special in a way that it shares many properties with hard random tensors. So probably that's the reason why it's robust. Yeah, the next family of codes we're going to consider is 2D topological codes, and we consider 2D toric code and 2D color codes. And yeah, we will also find what is the measurement threshold of each code. So probably all of you are aware with 2D toric code, but I will briefly review. So toric code is a stabilizer code consisting of two families of checks. One is the vertex checks consisting of four body X, and the other is pocket checks with Z operators. And the code space is the eigen state with eigen value plus one for all check operators. And the logical operators are given by the strings with X and Z. And for this code, we claim that information should be preserved if and only if we make a measurement with px, pz less than 1 over 2 and measurement probability less than 1. So I want to give some intuitive meanings of this condition. So pm less than 1 is kind of obvious condition because we do not want to measure all physical qubits. And this condition corresponds to when the proclation of the measurement operator X and Z occurs. So when PX is less than 1 over 2, then measurement operator just forms the clusters, do not proclate, which means they do not support any incontractable loop operators. But interesting point is that incontractable loop is not the only logical operator is supported in the toric code, but actually there exist a lot of different ways to make other logical operators by multiplying, for example, stabilizer plug stabilizers to these X strings. And this condition tells us that such logic operator actually do not play an important role for the information preservations. We only have to care about these string operators, and we will see why this is the case. And to derive this condition, it is very useful to use some relation between measurement and the lattice deformation induced by the measurement for the toric code. So if we measure, let's first focus on measuring X and Z case. And if we measure one qubit with X operator in this case, and there are two anti-commuting Z stabilizers here and here. So as a result, after the measurement, such two stabilizers should be multiplied to form a big stabilizers. And this is effectively equal to erase the on edges measured by X. And similarly, for the Z operators, there are two vertex operators that anti-commit with Z. So in this case, we multiply this vertex operator and identify these two vertices to form a bigger vertex operator. So the observation we can make for this is that if we measure the toric code with probability less than px and pz, px and pz less than 1 over 2, then some x and z operator will form a clusters. And if we apply this lattice deformation rule, then for the x clusters, it is just equal to erase all the edges like this. So in the end, we will form some big plucket operator consisting of z. And for the z clusters, all the vertices will be identified, and we will form some large vertex operators. But this is also the toric code, but deformed in a, defined on a deformed lattice. So the conclusion we can make from here is that if we measure the toric code with this condition, then the information is still stored, but in a deformed toric code. And now let's move on to what happens if we make Y measurement. And Y measurement does not have any nice lattice deformation rule. But the important point is that logical operators consisting of only Y is extremely rare. And this is mainly because we do not have local stabilizers only consisting of Y. And actually, all the Y logical operators can be determined by initial value of the single row and a single column. So if we assign some Y logical operators, then with the condition that it should commit with all local X and Z stabilizers, the rest part of the Y logical operator is determined by like cellular automation way. And also, because of this non-deformability, we can also show that such Y-type logical operator has a huge weight. And combining these two arguments, we can actually show that the probability of destroying information using only Y basis is extremely bounded and goes to zero if we take a thermodynamic limit. And our goal is to combine these two observations to derive the information preservation condition. So let's first start from the case when we only measure X and Z with the probability 1 over 2. Then the lattice will be deformed following the rule that we previously saw. But still, the information is stored in some weird lattice in the toric code. And then if we measure a Y measurement, then actually for in a very weird lattice, we can show that it is harder to form a closed Y loops, and also even after forming a Y loops, such loop operator should have heavy weight. So information, the probability of measuring such Y logical operator is more bounded by this scalar lattice. So information must be preserved if we make a measurement with the probability less than one. And we check this analytical argument using the numeric simulation. So it actually perfectly matched. So information is preserved when px and pz is less than 1 over 2, and it does not preserve since we measure logical x and z operator. And also we compared with our conjecture made previously. And in this case, interestingly, if we measure with a probability px larger than 1 over 2, then X operators start to percolate, so we measure X logical operator. And also in this case, Z logical operator will be measured. But if we make a measurement less than 1 over 2, then what kind of logical operator will be measured is not clear. So the conjecture still holds. And another example of toric code we studied is 2D color code. 2D color code can be defined on any lattice with three valent and three colorable conditions. And stabilizers is given by phase operators, only consisting of X and Z. And its logical operator is string operators that connect the same faces. And so our criteria would be we do not want to measure these string operators connecting each faces. But this code does not have nice lattice deformation rule, so it was hard to make an analytical argument for the information preservation condition, so we just checked the condition using numerics. And this is the result. So for the 2D color code, the information is preserved if we make a measurement with px, pz, py less than 1 over 2. And this is expected because the code has some symmetric result, some symmetry under the exchanging of poly xyz. And also we confirmed our conjecture that uncertainty of measured logical operator is 1. If the uncertainty is not 0, then the information should be preserved if the PM is less than 1. And yeah, this is coincides with the 7-qubit code we saw before, because 7-qubit code is the 2D the smallest color code. Finally, I want to make briefly comment about the holographic code. So ADS-CFD can be thought of as some quantum code that the bulk information is encoded in the boundary degree of freedom. And for this, the important property is the entanglement wedge, which is defined by the region surrounded by some boundary subregions and the RTE surface, which is the minimal geodesics connecting these two ends of the subregions. And we can show that all the bulk information here can be decodable using only the boundary degrees of freedom in the subregions. And for this code, it is well known that it has an erasure threshold 1 over 2. And simple argument to show is that if we select some boundary subregion slightly more than 1 over 2, then the bulk field centered at the bulk is highly probable to include it in the entangled wedge of the subregions. But actually, we are interested in the measurement threshold of such holographic codes. And we can argue that measurement threshold of this code is 1 based on two different arguments. And one is we can use some tensor network toy models and explicitly calculate the mutual informations after the measurements. And we can use like happy codes or random tensors, and we can show that measurement threshold is 1. And this is actually coincide with the fact that 5-qubit code has a measurement threshold 1 for all relative frequencies. And this is also the reason why the concatenated 5-qubit code has such super robust property, because it has very similar property with random tensors. And another way to argue this measurement threshold is using end-of-the-world brain pictures. And recently, it was proposed that if you measure some part of the boundary for degrees of freedom, then the brain will be inserted. But the tension of the brain is determined by what kind of bases we are going to use. And it is claimed that for the local measurements, the tension is very high. So the brain is located very near to the asymptotic boundary. So information should be still decodable from a measured part of the subregion after the measurement. So yeah, this was the for the holographic codes, you can conclude that they have a super high measurement threshold. This is the final slide. So the take-home message is that we demonstrated that a wide range of quantum error-correcting codes has super high measurement threshold. And we studied concatenated codes and topological codes and holographic codes and all of them has measurement threshold one for a certain relative frequency. So the message is that the scrambling is actually not enough, is not necessary to protect information against the measurement, but just a bit of column encoding is enough to protect the information against the measurement. And some open problem is we believe that the conjecture between uncertainty and high measurement threshold probably have some effective field theoretic description for the topological codes. And recently, there was some paper that shows what kind of field theory we get from for the toric code if we make a random measurement. So we're interested in to find some field theory description for the conjecture. And for the second, we're interested in the learning of running shadow tomography inside the logical space. And in this case, we construct the shadows using the outcomes of logical measurements, not the full physical measurements. And we believe that by doing so, we can efficiently construct without the information encoded in the column codes. And finally, we believe that there might be some relation between transversal logical gates we can implement and the high measurement threshold, as we saw like drastically difference between 7 qubit code and 15 qubit code. So this is the end of the talk, and thank you for listening.
Have you thought about non-poly measurements?
Oh yeah, that's a very good question. And
suppose you measure x plus z or something in toric code.
Right. But we want to maintain the framework of stabilizer code. Mm-hmm. So we didn't consider the polys, but it'll be very interesting.
Yeah, so yeah, maybe it's kind of also a follow-up question, probably don't have an answer yet, but yeah, I want to ask whether like this phase diagram of error correction, like you have this RG flow structure, whether that thing is universal in the sense that it's only a function of the phase of matter. Let's say you have a toric code, you do some local deformation, you change it to some other basis, you know, and does the figure change a lot, or yeah, that's the question. Or still there are some similarities.
So you mean RG, maybe this kind of diagrams?
Yeah, or just the toric code one, like if,
For toric code, we do not have RG like diagram. Yeah, maybe this one.
Yeah, so you have this like kind of phase diagram, and then, I'm just asking like if you make a change of basis, whether local, like could be a local change of basis or you know short range change of basis, and then, the diagram being qualitatively very different. Or is there might be some similarities?
Oh, so you're asking whether this is like topological?
Yeah,
I think So we tried to numerically found whether this phase transition is really critical or not, and we have some evidence, but actually it was not enough to claim such. Things because of my lack of numerics. But I believe that could be critical. So little bit change of local basis probably doesn't change the phase diagram at all.
Does the bound probability enter any of these calculations? Like, is the information preservation diagram, is it weighted with the bound probability? Like when you randomly measure, you generate the trajectory with some probability which is given by the bound probability, right? So is this the information preservation diagram that you're like computing the mutual information between yeah, A and the reference and the thing, is that weighted with the bound probability, or should I think of bound probability at all in this?
Oh, yeah, so what does mean by one here? I mean,
no, bound probability, like the...
A bound probability, oh. Right. Oh, it's a weighted, it's a average overall, but I think weight should be equal for the each post selection, so probably uniformly.
I have two questions. So one is, so here you consider average threshold, average over all possible outcomes, I think, but like, all possible measurements, but is there any very atypical measurements such that it really lowers this threshold probability value?
Oh, yeah. So, for example, in 15 cubic code, for example, if we choose only z bases to be measured, then yeah, we get the PM very lower than the one, which coincides to the erasure threshold. And the reason is because its logical operator is very small compared to other logical operator.
I see. So if you pick, so is it true that for any cause, if you pick very atypical measurement, then you can always lower this probability threshold to any values?
For 5-qubit cause, I'm not. Yeah, because we have examples of 5-qubit code, and it actually has threshold 1 for all relative frequency. So in this case, it's very robust to like what kind of ratio we use to measure difficulty.
I see. What kind of property is essential for this?
I think if you concatenate to 5-qubit code, it's a perfect tensor. And we can get perfect tensor. I mean, it's an effective description of Haar-random tensor. So, and Haar-random probably is the best way to encode information. So that's probably it's the reason behind this.
Thank you.
So about your result for this 2D Turing code under some random measurements, just wondering whether there's a connection to result by Tim and Amisura and Suhai Yang, where they consider the initial state to be some one packet model, which also has these Z2 topological orders, and they vary the probability of measurement of X, poly X, or poly Y, or poly Z. I think there are techniques like they map the model to some free fermion model.
Oh, I see.
And different ways of measurement correspond to different ways of pairing the fermion string up, fermion or Majorana fermion loop or string operators. And there, I think the phase diagram is different, but kind of qualitatively they are the same way. If you consider Y measurements a lot, they enter into some ghost on phase, which is kind of interesting. And there you also find the Y measurement is more non-trivial. Just wonder whether is there any common or maybe other has a common, but yeah, just wonder whether there's some connection.
Also, I remember the work with Tim and Ami got very similar phase diagram for Turing code. This one. And they studied how the long-range entanglement and short-range entanglement changes, depends on what kind of measurement we choose for the Turing code. So, yeah, I think Y measurement is very non-trivial, and yeah, probably there could be some interesting relations.
Okay, I have one more question. So here you consider separable measurements, but do you think adding tiny bit entanglement to the measurement operator will change this threshold probability drastically, or just only a tiny?
I think intuitively it would be harder to measure the logical operator. And yes, but also it will depend on what kind of like collective measurement basis you're going to use. But it's because if we measure several qubits at the same time, it's like searching larger Hilbert space.
Yeah.
So probably it's lower chance to measure the logical operator. But yeah, I'm not really sure.
Thank you.
Do you need this? Recorded, but yeah, lunch is now. There's a workshop at IQC for the rest, or starting tomorrow for the rest of the week. Might be of interest to some people. It's maybe a little more complexity oriented, but quantum information and complexity. And then there's also a social event happening on Friday at my place that everybody is welcome to, and you can ask me or check the email for details. Okay, so let's thank Dongjun again for the nice talk.